Hi, I'm Josh.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And we're Parentally Challenged. Welcome back to Parentally Challenged, where we talk about the joys and struggles of raising our children. Our oldest is autistic and our youngest is still a mystery. These are our experiences and opinions. They're not meant to offend anyone in any way. And always remember, every autistic child is different, so what might work for us doesn't necessarily mean it'll work for everybody. And so keep that in mind as you listen. So what are we talking about this week, Sarah?
Well, there's a few things. First, of course, April is the fantastic Autism Awareness Month.
Yeah.
Where you see blue everywhere and puzzle pieces and
all kinds of things going on here in Utah. Like, I know that I got an email from our dealership talking about Autism Awareness Month, where they're giving, basically you buy a coupon for 4 oil changes for the price of 1 kind of thing. And then they were saying that all those proceeds go to autism research, which, so really they're just giving away 4 oil changes.
That's awesome.
And I thought about doing it. It's just, it's kind of a far drive to go out for oil changes. It's like a 20-30 minute drive to go for an oil change.
Oh, that's true. Well, you could have bought them and then gave them to somebody else.
I don't really know anybody that lives out that far, though, either, so.
Oh, all right. Never mind, then. And then it's not like we don't donate enough to all of our autism stuff anyways. Yeah. All of our shirts and cups and necklaces and earrings and hoodies.
Yeah, but I mean, and I don't know if it's because there's a higher, what do you call it? There's a lot more.
Well, we're the second state in the country. We used to be the first for a long time, and then New Jersey beat us last year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is we have a high rate here, and so maybe that's why there's a little bit more.
Which, you know, I still think the reason that we have such a high number here is because the average family size is 6.
Well, yeah, the average family is a lot larger than most places here.
I guess Xander's saying hi.
We still get some funny looks because we only have the 2 children.
Yeah, I know. It's, why do you only have 2? Are you getting ready to have some more? And it's like, nope. We just went through a procedure where that's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah. So we didn't talk about that, I guess. We, not much to say, really. I had a vasectomy, what was it, 2 weeks ago now?
Yep, 2 weeks ago. You know, and that was really something that wasn't like a lighthearted decision for us either. It was something that we've been discussing probably for a year and a half, yeah, maybe. Because, you know, we always wanted a family of 3, but with everything that we seem to have on us, that just didn't seem fair to bring a child into that situation. So we just decided to snip the problem.
Yeah. And it wasn't bad for any guys out there that are thinking about getting it. It really wasn't that bad.
I know. I had a harder time with it than you did.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, I've had 2 pretty major surgeries in my past. So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe it's in the comparison to that. Hey, bud.
Apparently, Xander really wants to weigh in on the conversation. Like, I am the baby and I will remain the baby.
But, yeah, I mean, in comparison, it wasn't bad at all. I mean, the biggest annoyance for me about the whole thing was just the getting bored, having to sit in the bedroom for those first couple days to relax.
Well, that's because your children like to nail you in certain areas when they tend to play on you.
Yeah, we play rough, you know, like most dads could say with their kids. Oh, are you going to tell them? Yeah? Say hello?
Hello?
No? All right, we're back. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, we have to take breaks. The children were getting a little out of hand.
But anyway, so we were talking about my vasectomy. I was saying it really wasn't that bad of a process. I was down for a couple days, but I kind of had to stay in the room for those couple days because, like we said, you know, I play pretty rough with my kids, and they're used to that, and they don't know, you know, they don't understand that, oh, you need to be soft with dad. So it was just easier for me to stay in the room, like it what I did with my chest surgery. And so I did get pretty bored for those couple days.
I know you rewatched a whole series of Weeds again.
I did. I rewatched Weed, and I watched a lot of Grey's Anatomy, and anyway. And then, during that process, Sarah decided to start something new.
Yes, we decided to start potty training Odin because his cognitive language seems to be coming out a little bit more, and it just seems like the prime time to get the potty training in there.
Mm.
You know, especially since, you know, he's starting to ask for drinks, and he knows exactly what he wants when he pulls you around, so it's like just add one more thing to his repertoire. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be really good for him when he's actually done, because he'll have some independence, and, you know, he won't have to wear diapers all the time, because diapers stink when they're five. It was over spring break, so, you know, it was a whole week that I had him just home with me. You know, a whole 10 days where we could work on it just together, where I didn't have to try to work on it with him at school and at home, where it was just one focus for a whole week. Which he seemed to be doing well by the end of it, but I almost gave up on the third day. I was like, I'll just change his diaper for the rest of his life. I don't need to do this. Because the first day he did really well. He only had one accident and he peed, and I was like, wow, this is going to be really easy. I gave myself false hope, because the next 2 days he was very rebellious about going potty. Mm-hmm. In the toilet. He would hold it, and then when you would get him up, he would just go pee everywhere. And so with Odin's behavior analyst, we were talking about, you know, the best ways to potty train, because she's done it a couple of times, and she said, you know, this is the most effective.
Ooh.
Oh, hi, Odin. He still doesn't like potty training. But the most effective thing is not to put him in pull-ups, just straight up underpants. And if they have an accident, you make them clean it up. Like, so you get a towel if they pee, and you make them, like, wipe it up, and you say, where are we supposed to go potty? You don't get mad. You just go, where are we supposed to go potty? In the toilet. Or where are we supposed to go pee-pee? In the toilet. And then if they poop, you know, you make them dump it in the toilet and grossly make them wash it out, and where do we poop, that kind of thing. And the only struggle that I seem to really be having, I think, because he's starting to get the pooping down, or the peeing down, is the pooping, because he's just not very regular. So it's just kind of like, oh goodness, like, how do I catch that? So, and the treats, because he gets bored of treats. So, you know, it's having to switch up treats, and then, like, what will he work for and what won't he work for? And it was an interesting week. I can't say I wasn't pleased that he didn't, that when he went back to school on Monday, that was pretty amazing when he went back to school, because it was like, I get a break from potty training! Hooray! And then he did okay. He basically mimicked his week at home at school, where he did great the first day, and then he started rebelling, and then by the end of the week he was doing a lot better. But by the last day, she was having such issues keeping up with his peeing, because he was peeing like every half an hour while he was at school.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, you know, the only thing that kind of, and it was all just the timing thing, you know, we had a week off for both of us, because I work at a school district as well, so I also had the week off. And so that's kind of why we chose that weekend to do my vasectomy, because then I had a full week to recover, you know, if I needed it,
yeah.
Which I really didn't. I mean, after the first couple days, the pain was more or less gone, but they still didn't want me lifting too much and stuff like that. So I really wasn't much help for that first week. And unfortunately, that's kind of carried over a little bit, because now, you know, mom's the one that takes him potty, you know, so when I do it, he doesn't act the same way, or he doesn't, you know what I mean? It's a little bit harder, because, and that's pretty typical for Odin, you know, once, like, if one parent's doing something regularly,
yeah, he gets just used to it,
yeah, and then he doesn't want to do it the other way.
Yeah, once he asks you to go to the bathroom, like, we can start working on, you know, you taking him, so then he at least knows that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like with the bedtime routine, where it's, once he's, you know, starting to go down at night, you can take him down.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So he gets used to that. And besides, there's all the aides and stuff at school that are taken, taking him, you know, potty and stuff. So he is used to somebody else taking him. It's just, you know, we'll get used to it. It'll take a while. His teacher said that normally with him, it takes him like the first month just to get used to doing it. And then it, you know, just depending on the child, sometimes it takes up to 6 months for them before they start asking. So a lot of time watching for me, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what his biggest accident problem, because he's more than happy to go for you. When he's on the toilet, if he has to go, he'll just pee. Like, he has no qualms about it. Same with pooping. I mean, he doesn't poop on a schedule, so I can't catch him. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And then he doesn't, a treat's a treat to him. Nothing seems to be like, oh, I get this because I pooped. This is amazing. It's more of like, oh, I got this one. Cool. So, but, and then what else happened? Oh, yeah, and then I had a meltdown with baby speech therapist because she, so what happened is, Xander has a speech delay as far as we know. I mean, like we said in the intro, he's a mystery. We're not really sure what's going on with him. He will talk when he wants to, but that's only when he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
He won't talk otherwise. And you know, his cognitive language is there. It's just, he doesn't speak.
Right.
Because he knows, like, when you're like, oh, we're going to go bye-bye, or we're going to go to the bathroom, or we're going to take a bath, or give me a kiss.
Or night, or do you want a popsicle, or do you want a drink?
Are you hungry?
Yeah.
Like, he understands that his language just isn't coming out, which, I mean, like I said, he does have words. He'll just only talk when he feels like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was taking him to a speech therapist outside of the state interventionist just to see if I could get him some extra help. And this last Thursday was his 1 month anniversary, I guess, with her. I don't know how else to say it. It's just his one. And so she wanted to discuss with me how he was going. And, you know, with Odin, I do know the signs of autism and stuff. And I'm not saying that every child's the same, but there are general signs of it. You know what I mean? And I understand that if he is, he would be a lot higher functioning and stuff like that, but he just doesn't...
Well, and like when you were telling me certain things she was saying that he, or why she says that he might be on the spectrum, it's like, I was sitting there thinking, I was like, I don't see that though. And it's like, we've been through this before, I'm not being ignorant or blind to it, like maybe I was with Odin where I was just like, oh, he's just being a kid, you know. When she was saying, like, you know, about him and his eye contact, I was like, he gives me great eye contact.
Yeah, so here were the things that she was telling me was she couldn't get him to say anything, which I'm like, well, welcome to everybody else's world except for his grandmother's, because he loves them for some reason. Why not? They give him candy. And then she was saying that he stams, which my biggest thing is Odin used to stam. I know what stamming looks like. I understand that not every child stems the same, because, I mean, I used to take Odin to Tuesday and Thursday classes with a bunch of autistic kids when he was really little, and I saw all sorts of different stemming, but they all had the kind of same look on their face where they were just completely out of it.
In their own world.
Yeah, their eyes are zoned.
Mm-hmm.
So she was saying, because Xander does bang his head a little bit on stuff, but that's pretty typical, and when he does it, he's doing it for attention. He's not doing it to stem. He'll go, ow, and then he'll stare at you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's your reaction going to be? When Odin would stem, he wouldn't care who was around him. He didn't care for eye contact. He didn't care for any of that. So she was saying that his head banging was stemming, which was the first thing that started to piss me off. And then she started saying that he gives, like Josh said, gives her no eye contact. And I told her that Xander was shy. I said, he is super, super shy. I mean, he's seeing his state interventionist, and he's barely starting to warm up to her. And I mean, she's been coming here for 4 months. You know, it's a new one, but he's barely like, oh, cool. Like, what are we going to do? You know, he's shy. If he doesn't see you every day, he even gets shy with like his grandparents, you know, he's shy. And I told her that. And then she was telling me, too, that, my brain just froze. She told me one other thing and it just really just pissed me off. Oh, that he would get upset when you did hand-over-hand stuff with him, which I'm like, well, most two-year-olds, I think, would, you know. I mean, I understand that most two-year-olds have a lot more language and stuff like that, but it just, like I said, it's not that I'm blind to it. It's just the things that she was saying to me just didn't make sense. It's like, I don't see what you're seeing. He doesn't do that. And like she was saying, well, when I call his name, he doesn't look at me. He looks at me all the time when I call his name. Like, that was the first thing we started doing when we realized that he understood what his name was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we called his name so much that he finally was just like, would you knock it off?
Yeah.
So it's just, like I said, we're not blind to it. It just, it was irritating because it's like, I don't see any of that. You know, it wasn't like with Odin where when they were explaining it to us, it's like, oh yeah, you know, I get that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's not that I'm mad or anything about it. It's just, I don't see that.
Yeah. So his state interventionists are going to come out and do another evaluation. Cause of course I called her just raving pissed. Mm-hmm. Being like, do you see this? Am I just being blind to it? Because, you know, you never know. Mm-hmm. You know, and she was even like, no, he gives me fine eye contact. And, you know, he speaks for me and he likes to play with me and he's attentive.
Sure. And maybe it just wasn't a good fit with that therapist and Xander. You know, there's always that.
Yeah, well, I'll look for some more. I am going to wait and see if maybe putting him in a daycare for a couple of hours a week would be beneficial to him, because he does go play with my mom at her church and their little primary or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And he has a little friend in there that he plays with and throws a ball around with and chases. So I don't know if being around more typical kids would be beneficial for him. I mean, obviously it would, but I mean, language wise, what would be, mm-hmm. what would be better for him? So, and then like, I take him to story time and stuff, and he participates and all that kind of stuff. That was what the other thing is, now that I remember, she was saying that he wasn't attentive, and I'm like, well, you're not doing anything that it's fun. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I wouldn't want to play with you either. So it's just, you know, I guess I'm just so used to not forcing him to play with me because of Odin, I guess, that it's, yeah. I just don't get that. Like, he likes to play with me. He gives me eye contact. And
I know it can't be everything, but that, unfortunately, is how we are. We're kind of homebodies. We stay home. We don't really go out a ton. We don't socialize with a bunch of people. So really, that is how things work in our house, the way he sees things. That's, you know, that's what he's used to. That's what he knows. And so, you know, I think it's hard to just say, oh, he should be doing this, this, and this. Well, he's never seen that.
Yeah,
that's,
you know,
not how we interact with our children because of the way we interact with Odin and stuff. That's what he sees.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I understand that he should be sitting for 5 minutes and attending a project and stuff, which is like, that's why I take him to, you know, story times and stuff, where he does sit and he listens.
He can sit for 5 minutes if you give him an iPad. He can sit for hours if you give him an iPad.
I know. I know, both of them could. But, you know, this is the age of technology, of course. You know, we'll see the downside of effects on our children later because of that.
I think it's giving kids ADD.
Probably. Probably.
So easy to just pop in and out of apps. And
well, that's what Xander does. Odin likes to sit in an app. He likes to listen to, there's a, what is it, a kids YouTube app that Odin likes to play in because it has all kinds of kids' music. And he can search for whatever he wants. And it's easy to find. And I'm so sick of the gummy bear song. And the point your finger up, point your finger down, stick it on your head or something like that. I'm so sick of that app. But it keeps them entertained when I need to get something done.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, that's basically been, you know, our last 2 weeks or so. Is just, you know, baby's mystery and Odin's potty training, which is getting better. And then, you know, Josh having things done to him on his personal body.
That wasn't bad, like I said.
So, but
I mean, I know it's not the same experience for everybody, but I hear so many horror stories and stuff, and people, you know, oh, it was so bad and hurt so much, and it just wasn't bad at all. So,
yeah, so I think that's going to do us for this week. I think that's about it.
All right. Well, if you want to contact the show and let us know what you do for whatever we've talked about, or, you know, I don't know, just email us and tell us how bad parents we are.
Yeah, go ahead.
You can email us at teamducttapepodcast@gmail.com. I know it's kind of long, but, you know, that's what we have. Our website, where you can, you know, get our shows or see what else we're doing, is at ducttapeguild.wordpress.com. And if nothing else, you could just follow us on Twitter at TDTGuild. We post there with all of our shows and whatever we're doing and all that. So that's how you can contact us, any of those three things. And I guess we'll see you next time.
Bye.